Hello, I'm Tim Burrows, and welcome to another week of the Mumbrella Podcast. This week, during our video hangout, I spoke with the digital stars, four up-and-comers of the media world who have a passion for digital marketing. I spoke to them about how they started in their professions, as well as some of the key points of the recent Mumbrella 360 conference, along with their thoughts on the role that digital will play in the near future. Welcome to Mumbrella House. I'm Tim Burrows. Today's hangout is a slightly different format to usual. We're talking to the digital stars, and more on that, explaining what that is in a moment. Joining me in the studio, Jack Minchin from OMD Sydney.
Thanks, Tim.
Also joining us online, Mark Langenfeld from Cara, Nick Berry from Initiative over in Melbourne, and Mia Hamzik is at Optimedia in Brisbane. And then out in the Mumbrella newsroom is Megan Reynolds, who will be looking at social media for today's questions. So a reminder of your hashtag for this afternoon is digital stars. Hashtag digital stars. So, Jack, as you're here with me in the studio, I'm going to start with you. And it's probably worth firstly explaining what the digital stars were, I guess.
Yeah, look, there was, you know, obviously a selection process, very stringent. There's a lot of good talent out there. And, the four guys that, well, and me, obviously, that made it through, got the opportunity from Yahoo 7 to participate in the Mumbrella program, and with that came a whole suite of opportunities. We obviously had an intro dinner, which was at the winery. It was lovely, and got to meet people like Damon Scar, commercial director at Yahoo 7, which was a great opportunity. Then there was the full suite of Mumbrella 360, which, as I'm sure you're all too well aware, was a very, very full-on event, and very rewarding, obviously, as well.
And then you guys obviously joined us for the Mumbrella Awards in the
that's something which, people with less than 5 years' experience, as we all have, I think, don't often get to participate in, and it was an amazing experience.
Okay, well, let's talk about some more of the detail, and rather than just talking just about the event, we'll try and talk about some of the kind of the issues and thoughts it triggered. And Mark, I'm going to come to you first. Having kind of spent a couple of days thinking about, not just digital, but a lot of digital stuff and the wider world of media and marketing, what at the end of the 2 days did you find yourself thinking about the most?
For me, it was actually about, that area around trust in marketing kind of resonated throughout, the majority of everyone's presentations, whether it was on big data or content marketing or social media. I think one of the things that kind of came through in everyone's talks and everything was the element around trust and, is advertising losing the trust with what we're doing, and are consumers becoming, more privy to advertising, especially across display and mobile opportunities.
And Nick, I'll raise that same question with you then, because it is an interesting one that Mark, an interesting point that Mark makes. Do you get a sense that you're seeing a kind of a shift in the trust between either consumers and advertisers, or even within the within the advertising industry?
Yeah, somewhat. I think that was a big focus, and a lot of talks did focus on that at the Mumbrella 360 event. One thing that I saw was quite obvious there, that was talked about a lot, was the fact that agencies, whether it's creative or media, might not be getting, the trust they need to then be able to go out and ask the client to then, pay them in the way they need as well. So there was a big talk about coming up with the big idea and the strategy behind that, but then only getting paid for the creative work that you produce or the media dollars that you're booking and that sort of stuff as well. So I think trust had a lot to do with that, and maybe, looking at things like pay for performance and things. There's a lot of different ways that can sort of, hinder that sort of idea, but trust would definitely be a big thing, and I don't see there an issue being a lot of trust in Melbourne. I think there's a lot of trust around here, which is good, but it does seem to be an issue which is around Australia, I guess.
Mia, I'll invite you to join the conversation at this point. Yeah, your sense, this issue of trust, was that a theme that you kind of saw as well?
Absolutely. I think there was a lot about building trust. I mean, especially in terms of consumers, and the market becoming so fragmented. But what we've seen is that audience is spending a lot more time with, different media. And what came about was this notion of storytelling and this emphasis on content and context and building trust through storytelling and content. I think that's so important now, especially when we're considering all the different screens and the different behaviours that are associated with that. Trust is a huge factor.
Jack, what do you think?
It's interesting. I think there are two things here. So going to the storytelling, I mean, what is it, Citizen Kane, never let the truth get in the way of a good story, right? But consumers are savvy, you know, and at the end of the day, they want brands to be truthful with them in what they're offering and how it's priced and everything that encompasses that. So there's that side of things, which I think what Mark was talking about, but then there's obviously that agency and client relationship, which also featured and was an interesting point for me. You know, being young people in this and wanting to make a career out of this, you want to know that it's moving forward in a great direction. And you know, I think skepticism is obviously natural wherever you are, in whatever you're in. But we obviously want it. You know, we really want to be able to make a career out of this. And so you've got to reevaluate the role that all these partners play in this crazy little thing, marketing.
Well, in a moment we'll go to Megan for a question on social media. So a reminder that if you do want to either make an observation or ask a question, then on Twitter the hashtag is DigitalStars, or if you want to put a comment in the comment thread on Mumbrella where you might be reading this story right now, then you can do that as well. Megan, do you have a question for us?
Hi, yes, I do. I have a question from Chanel Cummings. She's asked, how can advertisers adapt to consumers becoming more and more ad conscious or ad smart?
So how can advertisers adapt to consumers becoming more ad conscious, ad smart? I might go in reverse order this time and perhaps start with Jack this time.
Yeah, I think digital is probably one of the best channels to overcome that. I mean, you know, one of the interesting things from Umbrella 360 was the battle of the media and in the sort of the accusations thrown at digital was this proliferation of banners around the internet, and that's one thing. But I think, you know, so long as you're communicating in an open and honest way with whoever's with consumers, that's all you can ask for a brand. You know, I mean, the reality of it is, yeah, we're in the business of selling products and communicating the strengths of everything. So you got to do that honestly. When there are issues that come around it, and you know the Tom Waterhouse discussion featured to that point, that opened up a whole raft of things.
Mia, I'll come to you next. That sort of question of consumers becoming more savvy.
I think honesty most definitely plays a large role. It's key. I mean, from, you know, creative messaging and just being able to relate to consumers, I think transparency is not even an option anymore. I think it plays a huge, huge role. But in that, relevancy also plays a key part. So I think in terms of consumer engagement, honesty, transparency and relevancy are the key things that we have to think about, not just in our messaging, but also in our media choices.
Okay, thanks for that, Mia. And Nick in Melbourne, what's your view?
Yeah, I do think that consumers are getting smarter. I mean, for example, I've got a few mates who are tradies and they don't really know too much about what I do, but listening to them telling me about stories of them being constantly retargeted over the web and that sort of stuff, it's interesting to see how they look into it. And I mean, they think it's smart, but also can see it kind of being a bit of invasion and a bit creepy as well. So I guess they're switched on and they know what we're doing, but it's just about just doing it in a non-intrusive way and maybe not being so blatantly obvious.
Yeah, Mark, that's an interesting point that Nick makes, isn't it? You know, that argument that actually people are waking up to the fact they're being marketed to and advertised to, and maybe people just didn't even notice.
Can I just say one other thing, though, as well? I guess retargeting is good, though, because the consumer should be happy because it's a relevant ad. I'd rather be served ads that mean something to me than, like, you know, nappy products or something, for example. So, I mean, it is good, but they definitely are switched on and they know what we're up to.
Right. Nick, we have established, is not planning parenthood anytime soon.
Yes.
Your view.
Yeah, sure. I guess bringing back to, you know, Chanel's kind of question was, you know, what other opportunities are out there for brands or advertisers to, you know, be seen as more trustworthy in the advertising space, you know, away from things about retargeting, like Nick was mentioning, that can, you know, for some people might be a bit scary, that people, you know, online and brands online know what, you know, what you're doing, what kind of things are more relevant to you. I think the opportunities really lie within, you know, content and content creation by advertisers and actually tailoring, you know, what their brand is all about and, you know, fitting in with, you know, in context with what consumers are looking for. You know, potentially, you know, partnering with already content producers, aligning it with, you know, content that's relevant to the brand or even, you know, coming up with their own content themselves and, you know, sparking social conversations as well.
And Jack, I think you were trying to come in on that point.
Yeah, I think, you know, to me it's what you said about 5 minutes ago about storytelling. You know, what Mark's saying about content creation and everything, there are ample opportunities to do that in a very, you know, open, straightforward way, because the reality is, content is about how people would use the brand, I think, you know, and relating that and communicating that. And, you know, with all our clients, you know, there are plenty of opportunities to tell accurate, truthful stories about that. And then, you know, the job of us in media agencies is putting that in the market in places that are relevant. So there's that transparency thing, but, you know, I think the privacy thing is obviously is a bit of a hot topic for more in the mind of consumers now than ever.
Now, just before I come back to Megan for another question, just a reminder that Michael Gunardi is the fifth digital star who can't be with us. I think he's off on his travels somewhere at the moment, isn't he?
Europe cold, unfortunately.
Lucky you. And the other thing
I should mention, by the way, is just for maximum transparency, Yahoo 7 has a commercial arrangement with Mumbrella as part of this a part of Digital Stars, so we are taking some Yahoo 7 dollars, just to be upfront about that. Megan, another question, please.
Hi, yes, this is from a Mumbrella commentator. They've just asked, is working in a media agency what you expected?
Is working in a media agency what you expected? I think this time I might start with Mia, if I can. Is it, before you got into the industry, is it what you expected now that you are?
I think without being too cheesy, I have to say that it's so much more. I'm pretty lucky in the sense that I work in a full service agency. So I work for Zenith Optimedia and we sit under with Publicist Mojo, the creative agency. So I'm really lucky in the sense that, you know, I get to work quite closely hand in hand with creative and production. And I don't feel like I've had that, just that whole, you know, media agency umbrella sort of experience yet. But in terms of experiences, it's been amazing, you know, from access to research to just the learning curve itself. I don't think that, you know, I've ever jumped so quickly and, you know, had to learn so, you know, to swim so quickly anywhere else. It's unbelievable. I really do recommend it to anyone, particularly I teach at the local university and I recommend it to students feeling their way out. I think you just get a really holistic view of, you know, advertising. And, yeah, it's fabulous.
And Nick, building on that question, it also kind of occurs to me that maybe media is one of those professions where, you know, even in 5 years, you can go a long way. And that's the thing about, you know, digital stars is these aren't people who are actually really in truth starting their careers. Yeah, many of you are actually quite well established and well along the way. Did you expect to go as fast as this?
No, not at all. Funny thing was, when I came out of university, I was trying to get into a creative agency and I spent a good year with a folio going around to different places. And that was a lot harder than I thought it would be. But I guess, but now I'm in media, I can't really see myself going anywhere. I love it too much. And I think that you obviously in this industry have the opportunity to develop yourself at quite a young age. And I think maybe one thing that I can say to younger guys in the industry is don't get ahead of yourself too much, because you are so positive and so keen to, I guess, excel and move up the ranks. But we still got to realise we've only been here. I've only been working with an initiative for just under 3 years now, so I don't want to jump the gun too much. But, you know, everyone's so keen and we want to do as best as we can, I guess.
And Mark, what were you expecting sort of before you came into the industry?
Look, originally I was expecting to get into sports and exercise, which is what I was studying at uni. So I kind of fell into media. And since I've, you know, started, it's just been absolutely amazing. Again, As me and Nick have mentioned, the opportunities are just amazing, being able to get out there and really kind of form a relationship with all your clients and actually form part of the strategy of the brands is really exciting. And again, yeah, the ride's been very quick, but you know, right to where we are now. But I think it's, there is, like Nick was saying, don't get too far ahead of yourself. We do have a fair bit of, to kind of get used to before we make, you know, that next step.
And Jack, what was your story? How did you actually end up getting into this business?
It's quite long, but I mean, I think one of the points, the main points here is that it's not what you expect. I think if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, you know, someone, you know, didn't plan to make a career out of being in media or advertising, you know, that you fall into this sort of thing but end up loving it in one way or another, whether you stay in media agency, go wherever you might end up, that, you know, I'd be a wealthy man. So I think, you know, there's it's a lot deeper, fragmented, and all-encompassing, which is, you know, I think touched on by the other guys as well. There's a lot to it. It's dynamic. You know, media consumption's changing. I think there's a role for, you know, universities. I know MD is doing it now. There's quite a strong intern program, but when I was at university, you know, you did marketing subjects and that sort of thing. Advertising was one subject of that whole degree. And, you know, that doesn't do it justice. I know that obviously TAFE's offer bits and pieces that are different to that, but the point I would make is that, you know, try and get into internships if you can, because there's no other way to learn better than by getting your hands dirty. That's not the route that I took, but I would have loved that opportunity to do that while I was studying.
Okay, well, let's get into a few topics that some of you guys have been thinking about, sort of post 360, where maybe sort of you know, your thoughts were inspired by some of the things you saw. Now, Mia, I'm going to start with you. One of the thoughts you'd sort of been focusing on is around the mobile space and the kind of disproportionately low marketing spend that goes as a proportion into mobile. Why do you think that is?
Yes, Tim. I mean, it really shocks me that less than 1% of the marketing budget is spent on mobile. It's such a vast arena. I mean, it's getting a lot smarter. It's getting a lot relevant. I mean, mobile ads are also they're developing so much quicker. The way that consumers are utilizing mobiles, you know, evolving so rapidly, it just shocks me that there's not, you know, people aren't actually making the most of the platform. I think particularly, you know, there's so many opportunities in, you know, the gamification space and location services. And I don't know, it just sort of, you know, asks the question, is it more of like a education job that we should be, we as, you know, agencies and marketers, should we be doing more of an education job, or is it more about, you know, trialing some of these opportunities? Because I know myself, every single mobile campaign I've run has just completely exceeded all metrics, and there is so much merit in running these campaigns. It just shocks me as to why people aren't, marketers aren't utilizing it more.
Now, Jack, I'll turn to you on this one. It's worth mentioning that Telstra is your client, although I won't ask you to speak about them specifically. What do you see as the opportunities around mobile?
It's massive. I think some of the opportunities are incredible. You know, I mean, there's mobile. We get, you know, presented with amazing opportunities around targeting and creative solutions regularly. And, you know, the video opportunities, it's really tip of the iceberg. Unfortunately, I don't think enough people are with Telstra, you know, and the network problem, you know, creeps in, and so you're not getting the optimal user experience. Potentially, you know, networks aren't catching up to what... To what opportunities are out there.
And famously, I think the issues with Vodafone and, you know, the network issues, which I guess creates a perception issue for mobile as a category.
Yeah, I think it's that. The you know, the ability to measure mobile, obviously, is, you know, accountability is the rod to digital's back. You know, you can measure so many things with display stuff, right? But it's not quite there with mobile yet, and I think that, you know, is probably a sticking point for certain clients around it. It's a shocking stat, though, that, you know, you said 1%, when you think of, you know, how much personal consumption you do, all the market stats that you get presented with. It's there's certainly a way to go there, but it's a very dynamic space.
Mark, do you spend more than 1% of your time thinking about mobile, do you think?
Definitely. I've also got the benefit of some clients that are quite digital and mobile savvy, so we do have a good opportunity at Cara to really kind of drive that digital budget and the content, the activity that we're doing there. But I think there all has to be, potentially an industry education piece that needs to be done on, the use of mobile and the content, the opportunities that can be done and that's out there for clients. Everyone knows how we, looking into mobile and how we're using mobile as consumers, but potentially more time needs to be spent on, what the behaviours are of consumers on mobile devices and how that relates to the advertising. Potentially there's too much snacking on mobile, just those short times, dwell times, waiting for the bus, is there a better way to kind of engage with consumers from an advertising standpoint on mobile devices rather than just display banners?
And Jack, did you want to come back on that point?
Oh, I think it is. I agree with you. I don't think that... I think that people's behaviour is sort of... while there are so many opportunities around mobile, I don't think that link between what people are doing on their mobile and the opportunities that are there is quite matched yet. And so I think that's what Mark's saying basically.
Nick, your thoughts on mobile?
I can understand why I guess clients might only be spending 1%. I guess it is. We've all heard it a million times this year with mobile, but it's still so new. And I guess there's no point just jumping into a new medium when you don't know how to use it correctly. So I guess. Figuring out a strategy first would be the best idea, and then figuring out how it can work best for you would be the way I see it. Not necessarily mobile is right for everyone, but the potentials are endless out there. It's just getting it right, and it is so invasive, doing the right thing and going about it well, I guess, would be the right way to go about it, I think. But yeah, I guess 1% is still quite small compared to other digital formats, so yeah, it is interesting.
Well, lots of topics to cover, so we'll switch topics. Jack, data again was something that was talked about a lot at 360. I think we ended up having three separate sessions on it, and at various points over the 2 days it came up as well. What did it help you kind of formulate your thinking around data?
Oh, I mean, it means so many different things to so many different people. That was one thing that stuck out. It's honestly, where do you start with data? I mean, even the pronunciation, is debated.
Yes, yeah, so English versus data.
Yeah. So, look, I think the one thing that stuck out to me, and it ties back to what we were sort of saying with earlier around what agencies and the role that they're going to play now and in the future. There's, obviously a role with data, not just from media owners, but also from clients. I think that once you start to marry all that up and do it in a, bringing in the other things that we talked about, transparency, privacy, et cetera, that you're really going to start to get, and it'll almost end up being less is more advertising, delivering a better message. Frequency will be there on one opportunity or another, but it's about getting the right thing in front of the right person ultimately, that's what you want data to be able to do, I think, but that you get so caught up in how big and all-encompassing it is to different parties that the industry's quite figured out what to do.
Now, Mia, I'll put that same question to you. Certainly it kind of occurs to me that some of it, as Jack's nodded to, that the opportunity is so big, it's almost where to begin and how as an individual do you begin to get to grips with it?
Absolutely. I think, a lot of it comes down to segmenting all the different digital breadcrumbs, and there's a lot of crumbs left out there. It comes down to the quality of the data. And I guess, in effect, measurement down the track. But, Jack made a good point in his article, that clients aren't willing to share their intellectual property so willingly, and, for good reason too. And I think, until we start segmenting it in a correct manner, I think there'll still be a lot of issues there. I'm actually really interested in the online and offline data matching. There are companies like Yahoo 7 are now partnering with data aggregators like Axiom at the moment. I think it's a really interesting space, and I think we are moving into a more accurate pool this way. So, like Jack said, watch this space.
Nick, I'll come to you with the same question on data or data. And the big question is, how would you like to pronounce it?
I would say data. Can't say the word data, but each their own. I think, again, like what Jack said, it all comes down to sort of, I guess, if you have even a big data available to you. The word big data, I know it just sounds weird to me, it's a bit of a buzzword, but we've always had data, but the speak of big data is interesting. And I guess, yeah, we need to have access to, if we wanted to make the most of a client's data, we need full access to that. And, you know, some are willing to share that and some aren't. And I think, again, that brings up the whole trust issue between agency partners and clients. And, some people have it, some people don't, I guess. But, yeah, that's about it, really.
And, Mark, I guess from your point of view, Cara, part of the Aegis Media Group, it's one of those things as well that I suspect that being part of a major group actually makes it a bit easier to get at some of these back-end things when it comes to data as well.
Yeah, definitely. I guess, you know, we do have the benefits of having a lot of resources within the Aegis group, between, you know, some of the research guys at Symphony to really make sense of all the data. But I think one of the biggest issues is, you know, work with the clients to understand what data is actually available, and how can we use it. And, you know, we bring in strategy teams and we'll try to think of, you know, what can we do with clients' data, and, you know, access to it is probably one of the biggest issues that we're having at the moment.
Now we're zipping past for time, so I'm going to move on again and cross over to the social media stream and see what Megan might have for us. Megan, do you have another question, please?
Hi, yeah, I've got a few. We've got one here from Kathy. She's asked, how will the industry adapt to forthcoming privacy legislation restricting advertising based on unique identifiers?
Right, okay. Jack, that sounds like a tough one.
I hope you're right on top of that.
Well, I think we've sort of touched on a bit of this. There's a lot of there's a lot going around about that. I think one of the interesting things is, you know, the Mumbrella 360 Award for data wasn't awarded. You know, I don't think it's being handled in the right way, and the implications for that around with you know, the privacy legislation, maybe it'll just be a move back to contextual marketing. We'll all forget big data. I doubt that would happen, but it's a tough question. You could suggest that the whole agency model is going to change based on what data is available to them. That'll be an interesting.
Yeah, Mark, that question of privacy and what the industry needs to do, I guess, to take consumers with it on privacy.
Yeah, I guess it's a tricky question, and it'll be interesting to see how people adapt to it. But as an issue as a whole, I don't think they're not going to give up on behavioral targeting and cookies. I mean, you know, potentially cookies get replaced by a different method. As technology evolves, you know, potentially we can drop off, you know, those UDIDs and, you know, not really track consumers, but more of a bucket of what that consumer is and what their habits are online. You know, making sure that, you know, people's personal details don't kind of get taken along with them.
Nick, let me come to you on that one.
Yeah, tough question for sure. I think what Jack was saying is true. And I guess also, as long as whether you're in an agency or a client or any sort of, I guess, it's, whatever you're doing in collecting data, I mean, you should obviously be transparent about it and ask, and I guess be honest with why you're using it and what you're using it for. That would get the trust back from the consumers for sure.
Okay, Mia, let me just come to you on that question before we take just one more after this.
I think that it will definitely change agency models for sure, but I think from a consumer perspective, I think it will, you know, consumers will start to become more relaxed. I think they will trust online and sharing their data a lot more, given that there's more, you know, stringent privacy legislation. I think, again, plays into that issue of trust. I think we'll get to see a lot more sort of worthwhile data being shared by consumers, and I think there's a lot of, I guess, merit in that at the same time.
Okay, well, I'm going to come back to Megan for one last question from social media, and I'll ask all of our panellists to go rapid fire on their answer for this one as we're nearly out of time. Megan, a final question from you, please.
Sure. Nathan Reed has asked, how are you using digital to enhance other channels and integrate across TV and print?
Good Good question. Mia, I hope you heard that question okay. Using digital and integrating with other, you know, maybe more traditional channels.
I think there should be a more sort of seamless integration with digital and the traditional media. I know from a creative perspective, I'd like to see content being developed further across, you know, across all of the channels. Obviously, each channel plays its own part, but I'd like to see a greater, I guess, connection between the messaging, particularly in terms of engagement. I know that at the conference, we were listening to a content management talk, and they were saying her on The Voice, all of the content was seamlessly created across all screens digitally, and then for the traditional media too. And I just I think that's really important, and I think this is a, you know, a model that we should be moving towards.
Thanks for that, Nick. Same question to you: digital integrating with other channels.
Yeah, I guess with the client that I work on, every whether it's press or radio or online, they're all pointing to the greater good, I guess. Like whether it's for a catalogue campaign or something, the TV points to checking out the catalogue online, the press does, and so do the pre-rolls on the internet as well. So I guess if everything works together and talks together well, it should work out fine. It's just a matter of briefing out a campaign across all the same channels at the same time and working for the greater good.
Mark, I guess there's a difference between best practice and what happens in reality. What do you see between, you know, when it comes to integration?
I think digital really kind of bridges that gap between the consumers and, you know, potentially outdoor ads or radio ads or TV, you know, where mobile devices, tablets, you know, online as a whole can really kind of, you know, enforce that and enhance that communication between the two. So I think it, you know, provides a quite a pivotal role. You know, offline channels
and online. Jack, your view?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the likes of SMG Red, it's the opportunities are there and the technology is there. Whether all the, you know, ducks are in a row with, you know, briefing and all that sort of thing is hard to manage. And I think that's probably limiting it to one degree. But, you know, there are already case studies out there, you know, your Tesco example. I think ultimately it has to lead to a consumer benefit to get real uptake. And that's what, you know, that one in South Korea with Tesco ultimately did, and that's why it was such a success.
That, unfortunately, is where we're going to have to leave it. Thank you very much to Megan for running the social media side of things, to Jack here in the studio, to Mark, to Nick and Mia. Thanks very much, all of you, for joining us.
All right,
thanks
thanks for having us, Tim.
That's it from the Mumbrella Cast for this time. More soon.